opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome into another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, where you'll meet the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding, on a very special episode of the show. Special because I just had a heck of a week. I just had ankle surgery, which you will hear about on the show. Ankle surgery to fix something that's been basically going wrong with my feet for 30 years. 30 years of playing racquetball 3 times a week. And finally, thanks to Dr. George Quill, my great doctor, I am on my way to, I hope I'm on my way to recovery. I had my surgery on Monday, November 16th. So today, I'm really being a real trooper because, I simply refuse to let a week go by without a show. So here we are with the show. Fortunately, I was able last week to get a couple of interviews done in advance of the show, and they are really great. I'm really excited about introducing you to Paul Toole, who is the man behind the Ballantine Chocolate, I kid you not, chocolate whiskey. I went down to the sidebar last week and sat down with Paul and Caroline Knopp, and I had a milkshake. It was great. Now you can see a picture of it on Facebook, and I really enjoyed myself and learned a lot about whiskey and how you go about creating a new brand, which Paul Toole, a former Brown-Forman exec, has done. And he'll be coming up in the second half of the show. But first, I have my favorite Metro councilman, Tom Owen, who covers the Highlands District. He's a historian. If there's anything you want to know about the history of the city of Louisville, get Tom's number. He's the guy to call, and he's a great councilman, too. He's been a member of the Metro Council 22 of 26 years. He took 4 years off when he ran for mayor, but he is basically the reasonable one on the Metro Council. I really admire him. When I was covering the council on a regular basis, I could always count on getting a good viewpoint from Tom on whatever issue it was that was on his desk. I've been thinking about having him on since a few weeks ago. You may remember there was a lot of controversy because Tom had proposed that Louisville shut down its bars earlier, that the closing time goes from 4 o'clock to 2 o'clock, whereas 4 o'clock is that's one of the things about Louisville. When people come in from out of town, they know that Louisville stays open later than most cities and all that. So anyway, to rest, if you want to be assured of something, I'll tell you that the change in closing time is not going to happen. As you'll hear from Tom, he's still pushing it, but he knows it's not realistic and it's not going to happen. But anyway, it's one of many issues I got to discuss with Tom Owen. So I'm going to go ahead and let you get started. Listen to my interview with Tom Owen, and stay tuned for more after this break on the Rusty Satellite Show.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And today, the Rusty Satellite Show finds itself down at City Hall with Metro Councilman Tom Owen. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, we have known each other a long time, Tom, and you're really my favorite Metro Council member. But I got to admit, I was a little peeved at the idea of closing the bars early. You advanced that idea a month or so ago, right?
About maybe 2 months now. Rick, here's the deal. When you work as a council person with residents who are an outspoken bunch and they live across the alley from the densest neighborhood bar district in our city.
Right.
By far. By far. And we're talking about the 900 block of Baxter all the way out for mile and a half, 2 miles out Bardstown Road. And it's an asset. In fact, there are people who buy real estate at inflated values so they can walk to the bars and restaurants,
right,
and the bookstores and the coffee shops.
Exactly.
And so there's no question it's an asset. But on the other hand, it is a significant, from a public policy standpoint, it is a significant management issue. Okay. That is, there are excesses. And clearly, the most recent excess has been the reported police runs, drug runs, fighting in the street, mm-hmm, videos that circulated widely on social media at Cahoots. But here's the picture. The picture is I've been doing this line of work in that area for 22 of 26 years. That's a long time. Does anybody remember just 10 years ago, perhaps, 11 years ago, when the pitchforks from the neighbors were literally marching down the 900 block of Baxter Avenue, mm-hmm, calling for a wet, dry vote, which I would have never, ever supported?
Okay.
But that's neighbors.
Yeah.
So here I am living in the midst of this, and it just seems to me that in the name of simple human civility, that not... Now, I'm quoting bar owners in this.
Right.
Not much good happens after 2 a.m.
Not just bar owners, in general,
happens after 2 a.m. So, now, am I going to be able to persuade a majority of the council to change that ordinance? The answer is, I suspect seriously not. After I proposed again, this is not the first time, after I proposed it again for a 2 o'clock closing, I got 1.5 council person saying, attaboy. They don't want to have to put up with this. And their experience is so radically different. They've got one little old lonely bar with 25 parking spaces in the front Albert, and their district they're on Hurstburn Parkway, setting back 200 feet, not across the alley from somebody's porch.
So it is uniquely yours.
It's a uniquely
mine. But your district is certainly unique. It's the place where a lot of people want to live.
And I'm glad about it.
It's really cool.
So are the bars an asset? Absolutely. Are the bars a pain in the arse? Absolutely.
Well, okay. Well, let's assume that's not going to happen.
No guarantee, because I'm going to pursue it. Dutifully get information on police runs 2 to 4 a.m. But I think it's not likely to happen.
To make it happen, you would have to convince all those other
council
members.
That's absolutely the case.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the council for a minute. There's just a story in the paper this week about you thinking about whether or not you're going to run again when I guess you would be up for election, what, next fall?
I would be in a primary coming May.
Okay.
And then I would be in a general election in November of 2016. Okay. That's correct.
Well, a lot of people, I think a lot of these metro council districts, some people, they get in, they run unopposed and all, they don't have much competition. But even, I think, with your popularity, you're always going to draw some opposition in the Highlands, right?
I've drawn a bias several times. Remember, I've been doing this 22 to 26. I stepped aside when I ran for mayor in 98 in the old city, and I was gone for 4 years. So 99 to 2002, I was gone. I came back with Metro Council in 2003. So I've been at it 22 to 26. The kind of things that I'm evaluating are such things as... Is 81 years old, very old? I would be 81 when I finished a term. If my life is moving toward sunset, as yours is, and I don't want to offend
I think
you,
everybody's
I don't want to offend you, but my sunset is much likelier to be closer than your sunset.
Right.
So how do I want to spend the last 10, 15? Give me 18 years of good life. How do I want to spend those? I have two very distinct lives, one in City Hall, one as an archivist and historian at the University of Louisville. I like both jobs. Mm-hmm. But can I sustain two jobs for another 18 years? if I were lucky, or another 4 years, if I'm lucky. So those are the kinds of things. I've got children that are involved in real estate and development. Clearly, I work in a glass house. A glass house. And any move that, any deep breath I take when it comes to development or real estate,
sure,
is going to get a level of scrutiny and a level of cynicism that no one, that normal run of the mill folks, and that's sure, that's the role. You know,
I know. I've done some
nobody,
stories on you.
Nobody made me run. Nobody made me run. So, so these are the kind of things that I need to evaluate,
okay,
and so I'm kind of come up with an answer here in several weeks. I want to, if I should decide not to run. If I should decide not to run, I want to give that panoply of 11 people who are interested.
Mm-hmm.
13 people are interested. 17 people who are interested. 11 or 12 who will file,
right,
perhaps. I want to give them time to get a campaign organized. So okay, I'm not going to take it to the wire. Let's say the filing date's the 15th of January. I am going to take a decision like that to
okay,
the 13th of January.
So it'll be in the next...
I'd say when I decide, it'll be in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk, just change the subject. One
yeah,
of the coolest things I think about you in people that don't pay attention may not know, they can find you all over town on your bike.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't own a car, and you're just the king of bike advocates because you
well,
do
it. Am I a bike advocate? I'm a symbol of a bike user. I'd choose that better. I mean, I agree with all the compatriots who are bike advocates. I am a commuter bicyclist using a bus bike every day, including today.
It's not that warm out today.
My wife owns a car. It's in her name. She uses it every day and night. I can apply for it if I apply for it plenty advance. So, yeah, I'm on a bike bus every day. I enjoy it. It's important to me as an elected person. It's important to me as a history person. I can read the streetscape in a way that you can't in an automobile.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm wanting visibility as an elected person, I can wave at you when you're standing on a corner. I can pull in your driveway at an instant and speak to you on the front porch. So are elected people interested in visibility? I suspect they are. I suspect they
are. But you're the only one that's doing it on a bike, so
well,
good for you.
It's been wonderful for me. I fell in a pothole today with my front
uh-oh,
wheel. What?
You didn't get hurt. You're okay.
No, I hit a pothole,
yeah,
and I said, crying out loud!
Why ought to fix the road.
who's monitoring this thing? Well, believe yeah, me, the front wheel of my bicycle is monitoring.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll report it.
Well, again, that's an amazing part of the whole Tom Owen story. But and let's cover one more area I want to talk to you. You're a historian on the city. You've done videos. You've done all sorts of – you must know every nook and cranny of the city.
Well, the way I describe it is I keep on slinging it on the wall, and a goodly amount sticks, but a whole lot falls off. And so my secret to being an effective historian is that I'm working on it every single day. I'm an archivist. I'm in a library at the University of Louisville. Been there 40 years. I'll be there in the morning starting all day. I was there 4 hours today. I am slinging that stuff on a wall, helping researchers, writing material, doing videos, all of that kind of ongoing research. I keep on slinging it on the wall, and a fair amount sticks.
Yeah, well, you must get – I mean, I'm curious. As the guy who – you know, if I wanted to know something about the history of Louisville, I would call you. You must get plenty of calls and
– I would say that I average 12 or 14 calls a day. Today it was Louisville Magazine.
Okay.
They're writing a story on one-way streets. Well, I became a 1 hour and 18 minute expert for the moment on the history of one-way streets in Louisville. And I was able to say to that reporter, here it is. Or today I got a call saying, would you come and speak to the seniors at St. Simon and Jude in April of next year?
Wow.
So I'm constantly both delivering it, putting it together, and delivering it, but I'm also assisting people in their research questions. I work as a reference archivist, meaning people come in the door to do photographic history, rare books history, university history, and Louisville history. And I work as a reference archivist. So I'm dealing with 10 people a day when I'm reference duty, you know. And so I'm just constantly slamming it up against the wall.
Do you get a lot of those speaker requests? I assume you do.
I probably do 80 a year.
Wow.
Walk, talk, or tour. This Saturday, I'm going to be leading 28 Girl Scouts down Main Street at 9 o'clock in the morning when it's 34 degrees. and I do that 80 or 90 times a year.
Yeah.
So does that keep me sharp? Does that keep me asking questions? Does that keep me? Sure. And so I'm just so lucky to have a life that has been fulfilling with several roles that I've clearly enjoyed.
Yeah. I mean, you must, I mean, there must be, I mean, your geographic reach, I guess, in terms of the archives and the history that you know, it's the city limits, or you know?
Well, I do a talk for Leadership Southern Indiana every year.
Okay.
And so I do talk about the role of the Ohio River and the things that historically unite us across the river and separate us across the river. But mostly my territory is not an Oldham County, it's not a Bullitt County, it's not a Spencer County, it's not a Southern Indiana, but mostly it's Jefferson County. And I do a whole lot of work on that, just on a regular, everyday basis, literally on an everyday basis.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're a fascinating part of the community of Louisville. I sure hope you make that decision to run again, to you know, even though it will disappoint those 11 or 13 people, I'm sure. But I don't see how you could be defeated in an election. But anyway, I just want to thank you for being on the show and for being such a great ambassador for Louisville.
Just call me Lucky.
There you go.
Take it.
Thanks a lot.
So a big thank you to Tom Owen. I went down to the Metro Council Hall and had a long conversation with Tom even after we finished speaking. Some gossip that I won't repeat about some of the other things going on down there. You know, there's a controversy over the Metro Council president election that's coming up in January. And, you know, I just had to ask him about my favorite councilman, Dan Johnson, and what he's doing. And who I guess the last time he was in the news said he was going to run for mayor, which is quite a comical thing. So anyway, you'll have to pardon me. I am recovering from ankle surgery. I am recording this show on Percocet. That's right, Percocet. It's a lovely thing. I have had no pain with this operation. My doctor, George Quill, has been great, and I think my ankle is going to be straightened out. So, you know, my plan for the next several weeks until the Percocet runs out is to hang out at the house. I am currently binge watching this season's episodes of Homeland. I've got a couple of other things I want to watch on TV, and you know, just got to take it easy. I'm doing some freelance writing projects. If you have one for me, certainly give me a call. But anyway, try to bear with me as I struggle with the Percocet and doing the show. But 124 straight weeks without a break. I think that's a remarkable record, if I do say so myself. And we've had some really great guests. I guess I'm going to have to count them. I guess we're up to 250 or so guests. I hope you'll stay tuned. A little later in the show, we're going to have our second guest this week, Paul Toole, who shared some chocolate whiskey with me down at Sidebar last week. It's really great stuff. So if you listen to the show a lot, you know, at this point in the show, I always like to talk about some of the items in the news that have come across my desk or got my attention, and some things that are going on. I do want to say, if any of you out there, you get a prize, just call me. I'll give you some sort of prize. If you listened to Rusty Satellite Show number one way back in 2013, my guests were my good buddy Mark Hebert and Cindy Tandy, who is still a friend of mine. And still, we got together and I suggested that she produce her own podcast. And she has done so. It's called Louisville Uncovered. The first episode is online now. We're working on the second one. Cindy is a great interviewer, a great media personality, and she's she knows everybody that's anybody in Louisville social circles, I would say. And so she knows a lot about the history of the city, and her Louisville Uncovered podcast, I think, will be a great success. So you can go find that on Louisville.am. I've done a story about it on LouisvilleKY.com. And, you know, I'm sure Cindy is looking for new ideas and new guests for her show. She's going to try to do it every week like I have. I hope. I wish her the best. I hope she makes 124 straight weeks and that her show is as big a success as the Rusty Satellite Show is. So anyway, stay tuned. Look for that. I'm looking for some other ideas for podcasts to do on the Louisville.am network with my buddy Dan Vonderhyde. And we got a bunch of stuff in the works. So look out while I'm idle and on Percocet and all that. I'm thinking of new ideas and new things to do. So anyway, some of the stories that, you know, I used to cover media and wrote a lot about media. I've had the Courier Journal's Neil Buddy on this show before, and the folks down there at the Courier have come out, if you've not noticed, with a new logo. And there's a story that Neil wrote in the Courier about all the things that are going on down at the Courier. The Courier, you know, is still struggling. I don't know how many copies of the paper they print every day. It can't be many. I got one when I was in the hospital. It was the first time I'd seen an actual newspaper maybe in a year or so. I actually sat down and read the newspaper in the hospital. I was at Baptist East, and a guy came around and offered me a newspaper. I said, okay. I'm not sure. I may have been on the... Paula tells me that I was really funny when I was out on the... you know, when they had me knocked out for the surgery. And so anyway, I really enjoyed it and all that. But anyway, the Courier Journal, back to the Courier Journal. There's a new logo. There's a new efforts to make the thing relevant. I think what's happening is that the newspaper and the TV stations, they're all sort of competing in their own way. I don't think the Courier's ever going to go out of business. I do think that someday they will not print 7 days a week. I think that's going to happen in the sort of near future. I think it's just going to be cost prohibitive to print something on paper. The same news is, you know, I think in this market, WDRB is doing a great job. The public radio stations, Insider Louisville, is my favorite source for interesting news about what's going on in the city. And so if you get a chance, take a look at the Courier and their new logo. That's all fun. The top story in the Courier right now is about a former Rusty Satellite guest, a controversial thing that's been going on for most of this year, and that is the why Louisville stores have closed. Will Russell, the former owner, put out a statement. There's two stores in town, one in Nulu and one in the Highlands. And
at Norton Healthcare, we know life.
And Will is just having some troubles. And he does suffer. It says right here in the Courier, he suffers from a bipolar disorder. And he told his followers on Facebook Tuesday of this week that he closed his two stores, at least temporarily. And he filed for bankruptcy in bankruptcy court on November 11th. So it's unfortunate. That why Louisville is such a you know, positive sort of thing about the city, and let's hope Will gets back on his feet, gets it all straightened out. He you know, the Funtown Mountain amusement park he tried to open up down there in southern Kentucky never really got off the ground, and he got in all kinds of legal troubles because of that. So anyway, there's another chapter in that ongoing story about something going on in Louisville, and which moves me right into the other big ongoing story in this town is the University of Louisville sex scandal. And I haven't looked everywhere yet. I know that Wave TV on their website has got a story up about two more people who have been added to this lawsuit against Katina Powell. And now, I've said on the show before that I think the lawsuit it's just bullshit. There's nothing to it. These people, lawsuit is against Katina Powell, and it basically says that you've by making these allegations about the school and the program, you've damaged the value of their education at U of L. And then all of these people that are in the book have joined into the lawsuit and saying that they didn't really have sex for money with athletes at Minardi Hall. I don't think the story merits publication, to be honest with you, and I hope that the other media organizations in town don't follow suit and jump in and jump on that. It's just you know, honestly not worth talking about, at least in my opinion. Now while we're talking about U of L, you know, I'm trying to figure out, I don't know, all the negative news about the University of Louisville, going to Dr. Ramsey's sombrero escapades and some other unflattering pieces that have come out about the university recently. Add this one, and I hate it because it's somebody I know, and I don't know how true the allegations are, but the story is, if you didn't see it, the alumni director at the University of Louisville, a woman named Deborah Dietzler, is accused of some dishonesty. lot of stuff that she did in her previous job at Georgia. What happened was, and I can understand how somebody might do this, she was apparently involved in marathons and liked to run marathons in cities around the country, and she thought if she could combine a work trip with a trip to a marathon, then all would be, everybody would be happy, she'd save some money, and the university would finance her trip. So the allegation is, and this has not been proven, so, you know, and I've met Deborah, and she's a very nice person, and I've met her at the Breakfast of Champions events we held. The allegation is that she would find out that there was a marathon in California, and she would sign up for the marathon and then go back to the university and try to arrange some travel to the marathon site that was related to the university so that she could justify paying for the trip out there. This isn't the worst thing that anybody's ever done, but if true, it doesn't look good. And she has been suspended by the university. And, you know, so that's an ongoing story, another sort of black eye for the university, because these allegations down at Georgia were part of an audit down there. And the people who hired her at UofL had no idea that, you know, it calls into question the vetting process in hiring, I guess, is what that's all about. So anyway, so there you go. That's our chapter of on people doing sort of dumb things and thinking they can get away with it. I mean, if those allegations are true, you know, you really wonder, you know, why people thought they would get away with that. Why did you think you could, you know, get your travel, your personal travel paid for by throwing some business meetings in around them that I think you get the picture. So that's what happened over there at UofL. So anyway, as I said, I'm sort of laid up this week. I'm not planning on going out anywhere or doing anything. We're coming up on Thanksgiving, and that's all great. I have some in the next segment. I'll tell you about my guests next week. I've already got them lined up. They've got to come to my house and do all that, because I am not going out much. I am stuck. I have three modes of transportation. I have a set of crutches, and I have a walker, like an old person's walker, and also have a scooter. So but right now I'm on the second floor. I'm not inclined to take the stairs to go downstairs. I've got everything I need here at Paula's house on the second floor. So all is well. Anyway, let's get on to my next guest. Paul Toole, I just met and through Caroline Knopp, and he is, I really like him. He's a great guy. And he is a longtime Brown-Forman executive who said, no, I've got an idea. I'm going to go out on my own and take the leap and go out and start his own brand. And he did it in a very unique way. A Balaton chocolate whiskey, it's called. I sampled each of the four flavors, and I can tell you nothing bad about any of the four flavors. And the milkshake that I had down there at Sidebar was really special. I urge you to go out there and try that. The whiskey is now available. It's really less than a month on the market, and it's now available at a number of different bars around town. And Paul suggested you try to get your favorite bartender to come up with an idea for a type of cocktail to have it in. He says that, you know, Manhattans, any drink you have with bourbon, you can use this chocolate whiskey for a unique and different flavor. And I'm always interested in business ideas like that and the way that works. So anyway, I think you'll enjoy my conversation with Paul Toole, and it's coming up right after this message.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328. Or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Boy, I'm having a good time today because I managed to find a guest that would give me a milkshake. So, Paul Toole, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. It's great to be here. And
you just keep talking. I'm going to be sipping.
I see you working that milkshake hard. Not just a milkshake, but it's got, in great Louisville and Kentucky fashion, it's got a little hooch in there. It's got a little whiskey in there, right?
That's really good. Well, tell me about it. What is this?
Well, what you have in front of you is Balaton chocolate whiskey. So this is a new product that we just developed. There's four flavors: original chocolate, caramel turtle, chocolate mint, and bourbon ball. And we've just been going at it about 3 weeks now, and we're having a lot of fun. It's really terrific.
Well, I'm glad to be on the front end of this this search. Tell me, let's go back and talk about you for a minute.
Yep.
You started. I mean, I know you're from Louisville, but how do you get to be a guy who creates a brand of bourbon?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just a lot of experience and exposure and good clean living, I guess, maybe. But 22 years at Brown Well. Yeah, it's clean by Louisville, clean by Kentucky standards. But 22 years at Brown Foreman, so, you know, could not have had, you know, better training, better people to learn from, you know, better culture to grow in professionally. And so, you know, all that experience and, you know, all that leads up to where we are today.
Sure.
So, just
so you're a good company man for 20 something years.
Yeah.
Traveled the country, lived in different places.
Yeah.
And what finally gets you the I don't know if it's the guts or the motivation to say, you know what, I'm gonna leave that nice cushy corporate salary behind and I'm gonna go out and try something on my own.
Yeah. That's quite a leap, and it really was a leap personally, and really for the family too. I mean, that's a really big decision. That, you know, nice paycheck has shown up in the mail box every 2 weeks for 22 years. It's a big difference.
I miss my old job every Friday.
Do you? Yeah. I think my beautiful wife Lisa misses it every other Friday, certainly. But, you know, I got to the point where I was traveling a lot in international capacity with Brown Foreman, and as rewarding and exciting as that was, it was taking a toll. I've just gone a lot, and I think maybe you get to a point where you want to try to take a little more control over your life, and you know, one of the ways to do that is to strike off and do your own thing. I think the other thing I realized is, and it was quite a recalibration of sort of thought process. But, you know, I'd, again, grown up professionally, literally grown up at Brown Foreman, and the scale and the magnitude of that business enterprise is really dramatic. And so, you know, everything has to happen on a really big scale. What you have to do to go on your own is, you know, to sort of decide and get okay with the fact that, you know, a small success for an individual can be a really big success, can be really rewarding, you know, can pay the bills and things like that. So I think that sort of gave me courage to say, you know, this doesn't have to be a huge enterprise, especially starting off. Grow into it. I mean, Brown Foreman's a company that's, you know, 150 years old, for goodness sake, so it doesn't happen overnight. So, yeah, I mean, I think just getting comfortable with the fact that it can start small and grow from there.
Okay. Now, the launch is just, you said, just a few weeks old, right?
Literally.
So tell me a little bit about how you're getting the product into stores and bars like this one, and what that process is like.
Well, I mean, sort of legally speaking, you know, this is a three-tier system. So you have the supplier, which is me in this case, Ballantyne, and then you have the distributor tier, and then distributors sell to the retailer. So we have a great distributor partner in Republic National Distributing here in Kentucky, and they're folks that, you know, I've dealt with both at Brown Foreman and some as we are developing this. But, you know, the distributor is sort of a rented sales force. I mean, they're going to go out there, represent the brand, make the calls with us, you know, sort of manage the logistics of the business. That's what a distributor does for us. And they're just great partners from the top down. And you know, we're sitting in a place right now called the Sidebar. And there's a RNDC sales lady named Shayna Bundy who's, you know, really adopted the brand, done a great job, and here she is out there making it happen. So that's the way it works.
Okay. So that's it. You put feet on the street and you go into the bars and you say, you know, carry our stuff.
Yeah, try it. I mean, I think in the case of Ballantyne, the most important thing, and you're hopefully going to do this with us in a few minutes, is just try it. I mean, we worked really hard on getting the product exactly the way we thought it should be, you know, not for us, but for consumers. And so I think, you know, the big key on this is get it in people's mouths.
Right. Well, it's such a idea, I guess, that's foreign to me, and you're probably going to tell me it's been around forever, but the idea of putting chocolate and bourbon together, other than like a bourbon ball, I've never heard of the two together.
Right. No, I think it's pretty unique. I think what you're seeing is a lot of interest in flavored whiskeys more generally. I don't know that there's, you know, there are a couple of chocolate whiskeys out there, no doubt, that, you know, almost nothing is completely unique. I don't think you're seeing the expressions across the chocolate line like we have with Ballantyne. So we have the four expressions. I think you have a couple of just chocolate whiskeys out there. And, you know, my philosophy on this is, and I'm not the arbiter of good taste or anything, but I think as long within this subcategory of flavored whiskeys, when we stay within the sort of credibility of organically and naturally existing flavors in the whiskey, I think consumers are going to be okay with that. And I think the category will, you know, respond well to that. Okay. In other words, let me tell you what I mean, Rick. We got way out there with flavored vodkas. You know, popcorn, salmon, bacon, cotton candy, cake batter, Fruit Loop. I mean, really, really got really far out there with flavors of vodka because you can't. The palate is so blank. I think with whiskey and with bourbon, there's sort of a naturally existing spectrum of flavors that organically occur, you know, within this great elixir we call whiskey and bourbon. And as long as you sort of focus on those, emphasize those, bring those out, sort of illuminate those flavors, flavors like, you know, vanilla and caramelized, you know, marshmallow and mint and chocolate, those are naturally occurring flavors. So, I'll just say, even when you hear, you know, people talking about their bourbons, they often use those flavors like a dark chocolate, like an orange, like a, you know, macadamia nut to sort of help people smell the characteristics within a bourbon, similar to the way they do with, you know, wine tasters.
Okay. Well, I'm having a nice milkshake here, and it's all chocolatey and yummy.
Yeah.
How are you, are there specific drinks that you're suggesting to bartenders? My first impression is it might be more for like a dessert thing, but how are you suggesting this is served?
Yeah, I mean, the most exciting thing is, and this is what always happens with a really nice quality spirit, is bartenders will get a hold of it and they'll be creative on their own. I mean, they'll figure out things to do with Ballantine that we, you know, haven't thought about or aren't trying to orchestrate. So that's really exciting, the way a brand sort of takes off organically. You know, you're right. It's great neat. It's great on the rocks. It's great chilled. So just by itself, I think we've struck a flavor profile that's really agreeable. And the profile is a nice 50-50 balance between a whiskey experience and a flavored or chocolate experience. So it's not a liqueur and a cordial. It's less sweet than that. It's much less cloying and viscous. So on its own, it's a great experience. You know you're drinking a whiskey, but you have that great flavor experience. Now, in addition to that, you know, it's both and. So it's great by itself. But it also mixes really nice, particularly we think the original chocolate mixes nice in classic bourbon or whiskey cocktails. Great in a Manhattan. Really makes a fun twist on an old fashioned. Obviously, the chocolate mint will make a terrific chocolate mint julep or a mojito. So all within that range of sort of classic bourbon cocktails, Ballantine can find an easy home and just make a half twist on those things.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. You know, I just... I have tried. I drink regularly the honey flavored, and I've tried the cinnamon, but it's just amazing the things that I guess that are possible to drink. So when I walk up to the bar here at Sidebar, I should order it neat or just any drink that has bourbon in it.
I think any drink that has bourbon in it, and so just for instance, we've. Been experimenting a little bit with them here, and we made a really terrific drink we're calling a caramel apple martini, which is the Ballantine caramel apple, the Copper and Kings unaged apple brandy, a couple of dashes of Angostura bitters, and a little bit of a cinnamon syrup that they have. Makes just a terrific fall cocktail. So, I mean, that's just an example of how versatile this can be. And, I think putting this with other, you know, either bourbons or other spirits, you know, is something the bartenders are going to find their way to either temper the sweetness if that's what you want to do, kick it up a little bit if that's what you want to do. It's very versatile.
Well, how do you? Okay, here's an off the wall question. Right. You're a guy in the industry and you deal with this all the time.
I'm ready.
How much do you drink yourself?
I'm sorry, I can't. You mean right now or overdose?
My doctor asked me today, how much do you drink? And I said, well, I don't know. So if your doctor was asking, how much do you drink, what would you say?
It's funny because, even being in the business for my whole career, I'm a pretty moderate drinker. Let me answer it this way, and this is a – and I always try to, stay on point.
My goal is to get you off.
I know it is. But I'll go off and on.
Have some shots.
I'll go off and sleeping on. The most loyal brand consumer. So I won't say other brands, but you know, brand X, and there's brands that you know have very loyal followings. Of those loyal consumers, the last 100 beverage alcohol drinks, 20 or 22 of those tend to be of that specific brand. The other drinks are, they might drink wine, they might drink beer. It depends on what they're doing and who they're doing it with. So consumers drink, even loyal brand consumers, drink a pretty broad portfolio of spirits. It's occasion-based. It's all that stuff. So I drink a lot of things. You know, I enjoy wine with dinner. I'm, you know, sold wine for many years. I know enough about wine to be dangerous. Love a nice glass of wine. And, you know, I'll drink. We have a great craft beer movement, you know, everywhere, but particularly here. Love the West 6 people. Love the Goodwood people. So love a good craft beer. And I love Ballantine, and I love other spirits. So, you know, I don't even get into a Ballantine every day. I just don't.
I once interviewed Josh Schneider. He said he samples pizza every day. You know, how come you're not fat?
He does. I work at Papa John's a little bit, so he's right. He samples pizza every day. That's partially because he's developing, you know, new pizzas. But he will also say, you know, a couple of pieces. It's a part of your diet. It's a bit of an indulgence. Have a couple of pieces and then stop and then go hit the gym. So, you know, he's in great shape. He doesn't eat a lot of pizza every day. He tries pizza every day. So everything in moderation is the way I would answer that.
All right. Well, it sounds great. I think we're going to stop doing this and get to drinking right now.
Yeah, I'd suggest that.
Try some of these shots here. Paul Toole, thank you for being on the show, and thank you for the case of whiskey you're going to give me.
I do appreciate it. You know, we have a one-bottle case. I don't know if you knew that, actually.
All right, that's going to do it for another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. And I hope you agree with me that Paul Toole and Tom Owen certainly are among the most interesting folks in town. What a great show this has been. And I want to thank some folks for helping me put it together, because going through this ankle surgery, I've been sort of laid up. I've had to go through some, jump through some hoops, I guess I would say to get this done. Certainly, Paula, my girlfriend, is taking care of me. Caroline Knopp, who helped schedule Paul Toole for me, was really great, as so was Tony Hyatt, who got Tom Owen for me on the show. And if you got a suggestion for a future guest, please get in touch with me. rick@louisvilleky.com is the best way to email me. Next week, I have some very special guests for a Thanksgiving show. I have a woman, Kathy Bingaman, who is a concierge, and will tell you how to, if you just can't get it all done, Kathy's there to help. You'll find out all about what a concierge service is. And I will have my good friend, Ted Lobenberg, who runs what he calls a multi-$100 auction company, but he also runs the free coat exchange event that's held every year on the day after Thanksgiving, and it's a phenomenal event, a great charity, and I'm looking forward to talking with Ted. They're both coming out to the house next week, because, you know, I'm not going out. That's the story there. So anyway, I want to thank my sponsor, Passport Health Plans, for making the show possible. And just each and every week, Dan Vonderhyde produces the show. And so I hope you get out and have some fun this weekend. I'll be sitting home watching the Cards football team. They play at Pittsburgh at noon on Saturday. A bunch of other stuff on TV. I'm going to be your TV expert for a while. If you know something you think I should be watching, I'm counting on my son Josh, who's been on the show, to give me some good recommendations for what's good on TV. So anyway, so that's it. That's it for another Rusty Satellite Show. Check out all the news about the city on LouisvilleKY.com, and you can see pictures of Rusty Satellite Show guests on RustySatelliteShow.com. A lot of photos by my good friend Bill Brimer. So until next week, when we're back with show number 125, this is Rick Redding with the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. Now